This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Interesting AF, or Interesting as Fuck. We are your hosts, Linda and Elaine. And today we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to our hearts because it is one of our identities. And that is motherhood. And the reason why we're picking this up today is because there has been an ongoing discourse that was started by Chapel Rowan, who does not have any kids, but has friends who have kids, and said that most, and it's a long quote, and I think, you know, people should probably go watch that. But basically, in essence, she said that anybody that has kids 5 and under is in hell. Like, every mother that she knows is in hell. And she goes on to talk about, you know, how much, you know, they don't sleep, they don't eat, everything is like taken apart. And we wanted to have a discussion, really, because I think this is interesting, and I think we both think it's interesting. And we want to, you know, kind of get people's thoughts, so don't forget to email us. But, you know, Elaine, I wanted to, you know, start us off. What do you think? Are you in hell? Because you have kids, you have a kid under 5.
I'm in hell for many reasons. So whether it's just him or a confluence of things, I haven't quite figured out yet. But yeah, I thought this last week was very, very busy. So I was not as in touch with the news or what was happening last week. But there were two things that I heard about last week: tariffs and this.
Yeah.
So out of touch as I was, this was something that definitely made the rounds. And at first I'm like, oh my God, she is going to get torn to pieces. But it wasn't my initial reaction to tear her to pieces. I think a lot of gut reaction in terms of like, well, how do you know if you don't actually have kids is a big part of the pushback that she's getting. And I can relate to that, you know, not relate, but I can understand that pushback a little bit. And I don't know that I really have the full context of what exactly what she meant by that. Like, was there a deeper meaning behind it? Was she literally just saying my friends are in hell? Or it made me stop and take a beat for something we actually talked about in our last regular episode, which is in this country, which is for now the richest, most powerful country in the world, all we do for mothers is lip service. That's all we do. We talk about taking care of them, we talk about how important they are, but then our country does literally nothing, fucking shit, to actually care or take care of mothers. They don't give a shit about the babies either. Let's be clear. So I'm kind of, I can't take a side in terms of defending her or wanting to be like, what the fuck do you know? But I think it spawns a bigger conversation where the country that we live in is so expensive to have a career and have children for women mostly. And we take on a lot of the unpaid labor. The burden is still on us. I'm kind of all over the place because, like, I could clearly talk about this forever, but, like, especially when we talk about that fourth trimester, that is on us. That, and yes, of course, like, the our partners, and if even if you adopt a young child, like, it is, it's there's usually one parent that ends up, you know, holding a little bit more, if not a lot more, of the load. And I think this should be sparking a much bigger conversation around how we treat mothers and pregnant women and people with young children. So I don't know where I am in terms of gut reaction to hearing it versus what I think this conversation should spark. But what I hope it does is bring more attention to this conversation to say, well, why are all these women in hell? Why are all these young parents, or I should say early parents, like new parents? Words are clearly not working for me today. Why are these new parents in hell? Why are more people deciding not to have children, especially in America? Let's talk about that. And so if that comment spawns this bigger conversation and actually inspires some fucking change, I'm all about it. Get out there and do it, girl. But I don't know if that was her intention. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to speak to people's intentions because obviously that, you know, we can't really know what that was, but I think it's an observation from somebody that's seen from the outside, right? That, for example, if it was just one of us that had kids, right, and we would see what the other was going through, we would go, oh yeah, that looks real bad. I don't know. You know, it's like the grass ain't greener, right? Yeah. But I think there's, at least for me and what I see, there's like a couple of things. I think number one, we still live in a world that is made and the infrastructure is around a one income household. Number one.
Yeah.
We still have a world that gets kids out at 3, that gets kids out at 3:30 for school. That's kind of incompatible with school. It's incompatible with work. You can't leave at 3:30 from your job. You still have work to do. Who's going to pick them up? Who's going to take them to sports? Who's going to take them? So, like, really the incompatibleness of a dual income household with the infrastructure that we have. And that's just one small example, right? School letting out that early, number one. Number two, I think with that single income household infrastructure, you had villages. Even if you didn't live anywhere near your parents or your family, people had the concept where you had a lot of friends because you were getting pregnant at the same time, or you were living at the same place, or you would create a chosen family. And we've talked about this, create a chosen family, but now it's getting a lot harder to create those chosen families, isn't it? Right. So I think that's that. And so what, you know, and those are just two factors, but I think the confluence of all of that makes parenting and motherhood an extremely lonely proposition. And humans are usually miserable when they feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel, and I think this is what we need to talk about, that mothers feel so alone. And it's not the act of motherhood itself. It's the act of being lonely in motherhood, which is, I think, the most, this is where the miserable comes out of. And that's where she thinks, you know, she sees how frazzled, how tired, how, like, not themselves they are. And I think that's her observation, which is, like, just delineating the problems in, like, what parenthood is or what slash motherhood, because, you know, no offense, and we know there are dads out there that, like, do shit, but mostly it's moms. Mostly currently it's still moms. Even in the pandemic, in a couple episodes, we talked about this. Women still did more unpaid labor at home. period. Like, the dad is there, guys. You either step up or you don't, but the dad is there. Like, so yeah, I think it's a good thing we're talking about it. But as always, we tear a woman down.
Yes.
For her fucking opinion. Let's not tear a woman down. Let's go, okay, let's understand where she's coming from, because it is her opinion, everybody. It's not a fact. It's an opinion.
I completely agree. Especially the tearing women down piece. And yeah, all the comments you made are really, really good points. Like, even having a village, it's still really lonely. And maybe if we took the time to understand and fully understand, if you are...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We're a birthing parent. Especially the, I don't think there's one person that can say, I didn't have some form of postpartum depression. Even people who aren't birthing parents get it. But the idea, like, do you have any idea what our fucking hormones do to us during and after the entire process? Like, I know you, Linda, I know. Universally, you.
No, I don't even know. I went through it and I don't even know.
And that's part of the problem, is we don't research this to be able to react better. So even if we have the support system we need and want, even if we have more than a support system we ask for, because we never know how much help to ask for in this process, we still probably feel lonely because our body is doing something absolutely fucking crazy. So there needs to be more understanding, not just, yeah, we're kind of getting there in terms of like what to expect from pregnancy. And then it all stops. Then it's all what to expect with what the kid is doing. And of course, it's a brand new baby. You got to keep it alive. Absolutely. But there's really no help to understand what the fuck we're going through, and not even just what our body is healing from, but the hormones and the mental piece of it is absolutely fucking devastating. That's the word I'm going to use. Your body was essentially hit by a Mack truck going 35 miles an hour. You're healing from that. But the hormones, I'm just going to keep saying the fucking hormones. The further away I get from it, from pregnancy and childbirth, the more I look back and say, let's say 6 months after giving birth, oh, I'm totally finally starting to feel more like myself. No, the fuck I wasn't. A year after having my child, oh, I'm finally starting to, no, the fuck you weren't. Like, 2 years after, I still wasn't feeling back to myself. I still don't feel fully back to myself. And, you know, we're older when we had our kids, which is another impactful thing. Like, let's start studying that part of it, the fourth trimester. And then what happens to women's bodies and hormones and mental capacity? My brain does not function anywhere near what it did before I had a kid, before pregnancy. I used to be exceptional at recognizing faces and remembering the name that went with the face. Now, fucking forget it. I may recognize a face, but like you couldn't offer me $1 million to remember unless I see them really regularly or I know I'm expecting to see this particular person. Like, forget it. And it drives me insane. Like, it truly drives me insane. So I think, again, what the intention was to me is not important because it should drive this bigger conversation.
My thing was that I have an insane memory. Like, I can recall, like, very, very specific things at, you know, whenever I need them, like recall type of memory. It's not, you know, it's not a photographic memory, but it's pretty good. Like, it's not, it's not like that level, but it's pretty good. There are swaths in time that I don't remember. My brother's like, we had this conversation, or my mom's like, we had this conversation. I was like, I have zero recollection of this. Like, zero.
One of the things that would drive me up a wall in the first, it went on for 2 years after giving birth. It still happens, but just not quite as often. I would literally, my poor husband, I would be screaming with frustration because I would put something down somewhere and then never be able to find it again. For 2 years, keys, my phone, obviously I could find those again, but it would take me forever to remember where I put them down. But there are truly some things, and I would try to think of an example of one, but I don't fucking remember. But I know there were lots of them, lots of examples where I would put something somewhere. And sometimes it was even very intentionally so I wouldn't forget. And right. I still to this day have not found it. And that, it happened so frequently too, that it was infuriating. I would walk into a room and completely forget why I was in there. I would forget what I was saying halfway through a sentence regularly. Regularly.
Oh, yeah. So my first child, it was COVID. So it was a fucked up time. And like, it was lockdown. It wasn't just COVID, but it was lockdown COVID. And then second kid didn't sleep for a year. And I love my kids in ways that I can't even describe. But it was horrible for me.
Yeah.
I gave them everything I had.
And then some.
Every little ounce of energy and then some that I had, that I could muster at any given moment. And it was horrible for me. Me and my husband's relationship suffered. We, you know, my own relationship suffered. My health suffered. You know, we've talked about this, Linda, Elaine, before, but you know, I haven't exercised. Like, I'm starting to get back on and exercise. And my kids are older now. Like, it's been 5 years, you know, my first kid was 5 years ago. So I'm only getting back into that, making sure I eat varied and balanced and not just focus on after they go to sleep, like eat like sugar and salt just to like make me feel something else. Right. And regulate myself in different ways. And it is, I agree with her. We're in hell. Like, women, yeah. But it's more nuanced than that, right? It's not just hell. It's a hell that's paved with good intentions, as all hells are, right? We are taking care of these children and we're giving them everything. And I think we're in hell because we have to give them everything. If we had support systems, if we had, you know, a village, if we wouldn't have to give all of them, we would have a little bit left to ourselves, which would help us be better, right? The whole concept of you can't fill another cup with an empty cup. And yep. I think most mothers that have small children, like either one or like close in age or have really intense jobs or think we're filling from like an empty cup all the time. And that takes its toll. And her observation, if she, you know, right now I'm like, getting my act together and all that good stuff. But if she saw me like 3 years ago and she said, you're in hell, I'd be like, yeah, I think that's an accurate description of the place I'm in.
This is one of the things I talk about in therapy pretty regularly is, and this kind of goes into like some of the stigma, is I'm obsessed with my child. He's amazing. I love him. I would literally kill and die for him. I don't love being a parent. I'm very open about this, but because no one wants to fucking say that, I feel like a bad parent when I say it. Like, I don't like parenting. The first year and a half was no fucking fun whatsoever. And anyone who would look at me and say, oh, but isn't it just the greatest blessing? I'd be like, shut your fucking mouth. I will punch you in the face. Because I'm also still very hormonal, right? It kills me to say that, but it's because I think a lot of people can't separate. Like, it is I started the year with one mantra, which is keep it simple, which I have not done at all. What I keep finding myself saying is two things can be true. I can hate fucking parenting and love my kid. And I can love my kid more than I hate parenting. And some days you may hate parenting more than you love your kid. That's the fucking fucked up shit about parenting, right? It's more most days I love my kid more than I hate parenting. But like there's obviously you and I talk about this regularly. I have very close girlfriends who I talk about this with.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
But like that, to me, and here I am putting it out on a podcast, which feels like a big deal because I know there are people who would immediately be like, she hates parenting, she's a bad mom. Like, two things can be true.
Two things can be true at the same time. I learned during COVID, and is a powerful word.
And
we don't use it enough. We don't use it enough at all. Like this or morning.
Emphasize it. I love my child and I hate parenting.
This morning, my kids did not want to go to school. It took me 40 minutes. Like we were late. Everything was late. Thank God I didn't lose my shit getting them out of the fucking house. But I was like, I could have not had any. Wouldn't have to fucking deal with this shit.
And you're lying if you've never had that thought, being like, God
you're
damn, life
lying.
Would be so much easier. Like, you would be lying because the only life you knew until you had kids was your solo, independent life, whether that includes a partner or not, up until, you know, like, it's all you know until you don't.
And I think the concept of like parenting like is fucked up. We have so many. Well, it is. The whole concept of parenting is fucked up because it's changed so many times in history as to what that meant. Right? Like one time in history is like, don't let the kid die. Like that was the bar. Like, don't let the kid die. And that could be like, maybe feed them once a week. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, do you know where they are? You know what? In the 80s, they had to have commercials to like tell parents, do you know where kids are? Like, do you know what I mean? Like and right now I think, and this is a conversation I have with my dad all the time. Because of like things that I say, like, oh, you know, this is what we've read. And he's like, okay, I get that. He's like, because you have so much more information than we did. And we are the generation of parents that have jobs and that spend the most time with their children ever in the history of fucking life.
Yes.
And it's not just spending time with them. It's entertaining the shit out. Like, you have to entertain these people. Like, and everything you hear, like every time I'm scrolling on Instagram or whatever, are you doing this with your kid? This is really important. Five things as a pediatrician that I wouldn't do with my kid. And I'm like, dude, I'm just here for the memes. Like, I don't, like, of course you hate parenting because it sucks right now. What, there's all these different accounts telling me how I do things and what I do. And you're like, oh my God. And, you know, everything's crumbling around us. And you're like, am I preparing them for the world of tomorrow? Like, all this. Of course it sucks because parenting sucks. Like, we are now the most, there's a reason why the Surgeon General of parenting in the U.S. as an issue. Like, it's a national health issue. A mental health issue. And when he said it, like, put in like the context of a federal government, like a man saying blah blah, nobody batted there wasn't this much discourse. Of course, some people like blah blah blah. But like, when a woman says it just in plain language, that's what he was saying. He was saying parents are in hell right now. Yeah. She just said it in plain language. But when, you know, I don't know. I think, first of all, don't hate on women, number one.
No.
And then number two, make the system better. Let's all work together. And instead, hey, ladies, instead of cutting other people down, why don't we get together and make the system better instead of rising tides, my
rising
friends.
Rising tides raises all ships. Yeah. And I knew that when I had a kid that, you know, your identity does change, but I didn't want my whole identity to become motherhood. And some people want that. And that's their fucking prerogative. Like, live your goddamn life. But all of us that have had kids can relate on this. Yes, everyone's experience is going to be a little bit different, but there's a lot of common themes. And so I think for those of us who've been there, we can get together and find out how to make this better. Even people who choose not to do it can get in there and figure out how to make it better, because we can speak to why you've decided not to have kids. And those of us who have had kids can speak to why it fucking sucks to have kids in this country right now.
Yeah.
You know, there are little things here and there that made it a little better. Like, I had to exclusively pump, which I wouldn't wish on my worst fucking enemy. But thanks Obama, I got every pregnant woman gets a free pump. And those things are fucking expensive. If you have health insurance, even if you have Obamacare, like, you can get a free pump. And the fact that I didn't have to feel like a failure walking out because my kid wouldn't latch, that thing showed up, you know, already, because they recommend, they like, here's the paperwork, order this whether you need it or not. Like, if you don't end up using it, send it back. But like, I had it, and that tiny little bit of less anxiety, I will remember forever, because sometimes that's all it takes, is like just little things here and there. There are 400 more, for every one of those, there's like 400 fucking stressful, anxiety ridden things that could very easily be fixed that our country just refuses to fucking do anything about, which is such a huge problem.
Yeah. And I, you know, yes, the U.S. is like there's a big thing, but there's a lot of issues in other countries in different ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, there's so many surveys and, like, you know, studies done about the motherhood penalty. So essentially, like, even in the Nordic nations, which have the best parental leave, which have the best, you know, social policies for families, which have all of these things, they noticed that women's incomes go down because they have something called the motherhood penalty. So the second they're out of the job force for, you know, the parental leave there, I think is like six, either 7 months or like a year. So it's really long. And their job is secure while they're gone, that they take a hit in their like income and, you know, their salary, and it never recovers to pre-pregnancy levels, and it never matches up to their male colleagues. So there's different things. And like, for example, why, like in developing countries, it's slightly better. And you know why? They have a village. They have their mothers are taking care of them. Their mother-in-laws are taking care of their kids. They live in communal housing. Like, you know, all these people making like shit talking about moving back in here with your family. That's awesome, everybody. Like, if you need to, do it. Don't feel bad about it. Because you know why? You have people with you. And this whole show is about connection. And the best way you connect with people is to go to the third place with them. Go, you know, live with them. Do whatever, right? Like, I think there's a lot of things that improve because we connect to people. And that's how I think we get out of this hell that, you know, that Chapel mentioned.
More mothers in Congress too wouldn't hurt, but we're too smart for that shit. That's part of the problem. We don't want
two mothers essentially shut down the House of Representatives. So what are you going to do?
I love it. I love it. Get fucked.
But you know what? And this is to everybody, that you can have common ground. It was bipartisan, everybody.
It was
bipartisan. I don't think, and this is just me, glass half full, I don't think we're that far apart.
We're not.
We just need to talk more. Let's just talk it out.
We need to talk more. We need to connect more. We need to realize that you can disagree with somebody and still respect them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who aren't on the same political spectrum as me, who are religious and I'm not, who don't want to have kids and we have a kid. Like, but these are my friends and we can disagree on things and not call them a terrible name, or just because we disagree on particular issues. Now, listen, we're not talking about like ethically and morally questionable things. I think the religion one's a good one. We have a very close friend who's religious. And
you've talked about this in another episode.
Yes. We had a great conversation about his beliefs, but in being a human being and how you want to treat other human beings, we are the same. And that to me, like, our core values are very much aligned, and we can have these conversations without fucking hating each other for the most part. I think, you know, social media hasn't helped that, but I agree. I don't think we're that far. And I think a lot of people, whether you physically gave birth to a child or are adopted a young child, like, everyone can relate to this, especially in terms of making sure that new parents are taken care of, that it takes a village, and sometimes that village is hard to find or you don't have it at all. And so maybe if we just focus on making this a tiny bit easier, we won't be in such hell.
So. Oh yeah. And it really, again, I just think we need to talk to each other more. Don't assume things about people. And I'm re-listening to a book called Super Communicators, which is basically how, I don't know if you've read that, and it's great. Mm-mm. It's basically how some people are considered super communicators in the way of how they connect to people and how they make sure people understand them, even though they have opposing viewpoints. And sometimes it's about identity, right? Connecting to an identity that isn't necessarily your primary one, but one that you identify with anyways. Like, for example, they were talking about gun control. And one of the things that they were talking about was identifying to a connect, like to a, an identity that you had, but wasn't integral to like gun control, for example. Oh, you're a parent, right? Or you're a person that would like to have a conversation about it, or you want policies to make sure it's safer for people. Like, there's a lot of things that people can have conversations about. And like the identity thing was great. And yeah, I think that's one of the things that is helpful to be able to connect to people and to be able to help people through themselves. And I know, and we've noticed, we've said this before, when a young mom sends out a text message at 3 a.m. in the morning, you best believe a mom somewhere is going to reply. She's awake.
1,000%.
She's awake. And, you know, for all of like, you know, as much as we say in hell, and like, I had so many people I could talk to. Like, even though they weren't going through the exact same thing as me, I would text at 3 a.m. be like, what the fuck is going on? Like a bird call, because we talked about birds earlier. Yes.
Honestly.
But like, yeah, it's somebody to be like, yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't breastfeed too long. I was out. You know what I mean? Like, I hate pumping. Like, pumping sucks. Like, I don't. Oh God, pumping sucks.
Sneezing after a C-section. There's something you never needed. Yes. You know, never needed.
Or
you
laughing.
Need.
Oh or God. Laughing yeah. After my C-section, I went and saw the other guys, like on TV, because you know, like you're like on a high after coming home. Yeah. And the first time we watched Parasite, which was, okay, the fuck was I doing?
Such a good movie.
So no, I did not. No, that's not a Linda-approved movie. No.
Well, that's not a postpartum movie. Let's be very
clear. It's not a postpartum movie. And then the other time I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to go see, you know, let's see something funny. And it was the other guys. It was available on Netflix. And I, you know how they tell you put a pillow on your C-section scar? That's like basically like I had to like put a pillow on my C-section scar so I wouldn't bust. And it's not because of the outside stitches. They're afraid of busting in the inside stitches, which, you know, it's also a very small likelihood, but they still don't want you to do it. And I had to turn that movie is just hilarious.
Yeah, Linda, side note, Linda and I are not afraid to talk about the nasty bits, by the way, because that's another thing that like in terms of that fourth trimester, like I had a couple of very close girlfriends who were very open with me about some of the real nasty stuff. So, but it should be talked about. Like, you're not going to poop for a week, and the first time you poop, it's going to be the most agonizing thing you've ever been through. You know, there's a little teaser there. And, you know, sometimes you hear this stuff and you're like, why the fuck would I have children? And another PSA I'll throw out there. Just because someone has decided that they don't want kids, don't assume it's because of any one particular reason. Some people just can't have them. And also, it's really none of your fucking business.
Please,
like, I can't tell you how many
people.
Strangers, I can't tell you how many strangers. I got more questions about when I would have a second than when we were going to start trying to have a first. And I was like, oh, so you've just kicked the door down into my bedroom, into my sex life. Thank you, stranger. Get the fuck out of here. Like, it's amazing what people think they're entitled to ask you the second you become a pregnant person.
Yes. I remember coming back. I remember the first time coming back to the office and a senior person asked me after my second kid, when are you going to have your third? I had just had my kid maybe 7-8 months ago. And again, remember, I was not sleeping. Okay, let's normalize not. Of course, you're going to ask people you're close to, right? Like, let's, you know, use your fucking judgment, right? Use your judgment, people. Like, we're not saying stop talking and like, but like, you, somebody will talk to you if they're having a hard time having kids. Somebody, if they're a close friend, they will, you're going to talk to people about this. They're going to talk to you about it. But please, God, Stop asking people if they're pregnant. Stop asking people if they're trying to get pregnant. Stop trying to, like, stop asking them shit. Like,
yes,
people are not a function of the reproduction. Yes. You know, let's talk about, you know, we can talk about the bigger biological imperative till we're red in the face, but it's not all we're about, people. It's not all we're about.
Nope. Agreed. So yeah, I don't think we've decided one way or another. I don't think this conversation was to decide whether or not we were supportive or, you know, not of her comment. I think it's sparking some interesting conversation on both sides. But at the end of the day, like, let's make this country just as impressive with how we take care of mothers, children, new parents, as we were historically in other aspects of things, politics, economy, freedom, whatever you want to insert there. Like, let's make it better for all of us.
Agreed.
None of us would exist. None of us would exist. So why the fuck is it so complicated and terrible and hard?
I don't.
Because it is hell.
It is. Like, it is, and it's great, and it's like, it's a yin and yang. It's a lot of things.
It is.
But on that note, I recommend to everybody to have a little bit more nuance to your conversations. Don't knee-jerk react to all this stuff. People are entitled to their opinions. She's allowed to her observations. And that's what we're saying about it. And you will please add us, message us, talk to us. We'd love to hear your point of view. Remember, be kind.
Yes.
And you know, I think we have our next doc is in. So that was the woman who was not there. The woman who wasn't there. Please check that out and then come back next time on an episode of Interesting AF. Elaine, take us away.
Stay interesting.